Thank you, Joseph, for leading us in those great songs and for all those who have led us in our worship to this point. It is wonderful to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. It is time now for us to reflect and study God's Word and to challenge ourselves, examine ourselves, and be able to ask the important question, if I haven't already, what must I do to be saved? But before we enter into our lesson today, I've got some good news to share with you. Bits of good news. First of all, and you may already know this because I think it's already Facebook official, but if you don't, there is someone here still growing the church because they're about to have another baby. And I'll give you a minute to think about that. This is baby number two. Where is Peyton Dial? Peyton, where are you, sweetheart? Are you going to be a big sister? Congratulations to Reagan, Becca, and Peyton Dial. And she's like, thanks, Mr. Terry. I am scarred for life. So that is great news. I tell you this every time I say that, but somebody once told me that as long as we keep having babies here, we'll keep growing. And so thank you, Dials, for helping us keep growing. But please be in prayer for them. We're growing in another way this morning because we have a family that has been visiting with us, a family that's near and dear to me because I've known them for quite some time. They've been visiting with us for a while, and this morning they stopped me, and y'all can stop me anytime you say, hey, I'm ready to take the visitor's hats off and put the member hat on. They are officially wanting to place their membership with us. And that is a young couple of Glenn and Ashley Bowman and their sweet daughter, Laura Ann. Glenn and Ashley, can you stand up, please? Welcome them to Azalea City. I have known Ashley. I know I don't look this old, but I taught Ashley at Mobile Christian School. And despite all that, she's still wanting to come and being a part of here at Azalea City. So I appreciate that. But I've known Glenn a long time, too, through Gulf Coast Bible Camp first is where we met. And then, again, they certainly are a great Christian couple. Love them dearly and just so proud of them. And their baby, Laura Ann, is just a doll. And so welcome them officially to Azalea City when you get the chance. Also want to say, as I was looking over this morning, Brother Larry, it's certainly good to see you here with us today. We're glad Larry Tart's able to be here. Brother Larry certainly had a break from his vacation while he was on vacation, but keep praying for him as well. You've heard a lot today. We started our worship, and I appreciate Joseph working with me through the sermon, but we started our worship standing in awe of him. Then we sang about how great is our God. And just a moment ago, before I came up here, we stood in amazement at Jesus the Nazarene. You know, I don't know what amazes you, but there are a lot of things in life that are amazing. I think about babies being born. And I think about how babies and children, how amazing they are. This morning I was able to watch, and a lot of times I don't get to, but I was dropping my stuff off and even got to participate a little bit in our pew pals. They were up here this morning singing, and Taylor was leading them, and they were rolling the gospel chariot. And so I am so thankful that we have children in our number, children the way God designed them. It's an amazing moment to watch a child. I remember when both my children were born, looking down and just thinking that God did this. And, you know, I appreciate and I can understand when people say, we sure did make some beautiful children. And listen, I get it, right? But really, God made them. And God's the one who designed them. And that's amazing to me. It's been mentioned already about the hearts of giving around here. But think about the servants we have. How amazing this place is. You know, I've been at Azalea City now nearly 25 years as an employee, longer than that as a member, obviously, my whole life. But as I look around and, you know, I've looked through pictures recently of when my children were young, and I've seen different people who've gone on to their reward holding them, and I think about how the great servants they were. Who's going to step up? And then so many people have stepped up, and you know, I'm so thankful for that. It amazes me that people keep stepping up and serving. Those are things that I'm amazed by. I'm still amazed by rainbows. And even more so today because of what sin has taken the rainbow to represent. But when I look at the rainbow in the sky, that isn't sin. That's a promise from God. And it amazes me to know that after a long rain, and I've even been able to see double rainbows and such, it just that promise is still there, and that amazes me. I guess most of all, I'm amazed that in that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated His own love toward us, and He allowed Jesus to go to the cross and die for our sins. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, He prayed, not my will, but Thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. You see, because of Jesus and the amazing things that He has done and continues to do, there should never be a day of our lives that we do not put our head on our pillow at night and think, it wasn't very amazing today. Every day of our lives, we should look and we should see God. We should find God in nature. We should find God in children. We should find God in rainbows. We should find Him in all the good things all around us, in people that love the Lord. And so every day of our lives, we should stand in awe of Him. Every day of our lives, we should stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Because I'm telling you, folks, when we lose that amazement, when we lose that marvelous is when Satan takes over. When we forget what He's done for us, how He's died for us, how He's loved us, how He's forgiven us, how He's been patient with us, the more we forget, the more Satan takes over. That's why I'm thankful that on the first day of the week, they broke bread. And by the thought process that just makes sense, there are 52 first days of the week, maybe 53 some months, right, some years. 52 first days of the week every year. And so I'm thankful that on every first day of the week, we break bread together and remember the death, the burial of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we remember His broken body that was on the cross. He didn't have broken bones, but His body was certainly broken as we partake of that bread. And I'm thankful that as we remember that amazing blood, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we drink that cup that represents that blood. I'm thankful we do that every week, lest we forget. Because when we forget is when Satan takes over. So today, I want you to join me in an amazing chapter of the Bible as we learn more about our amazing Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at just a few points today that's going to remind us of how amazing Jesus is so that we will make the attempt to to never forget. Tomorrow when we go to work, tomorrow when we go to school, and sin is all around us, we will not forget how amazing God is. That is the goal. When we go to the grocery store or we go to the restaurant and we have bad service, we will not forget how amazing God is to us. When somebody cuts us off in traffic, when somebody curses our name, we will not forget just how amazing God is and has been to us. I believe in the Bible there were times that people tried to forget and people accidentally forgot. But I believe this lesson today will remind us that we should never forget. We should always be amazed at how much Jesus Christ loves us. Number one this morning, from multitudes to mountains, Jesus Himself spent amazing time with His Father in prayer. Look at Mark 6 beginning in verse 45. Immediately He, Jesus Christ, made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side to Bethsaida, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent them away, He departed to the mountain to pray. Now, I've read Mark 6 a number of times in my life, and there are other passages where we see Jesus praying, John 17 and so many others. But as you read Mark 6, and if you're not careful, if you have the Bible read it to you every day, or you read it yourself, you get to Mark 6, you might skip over that. You might see that verse and just fly right through it. And when He had sent them away, He departed the mountain to pray. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to meditate with me this morning on this verse. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus was while He was on earth? He was God in the flesh. He was the one, as I said just a few weeks ago, that when God knew that they needed to make man, He turned to Jesus and He turned to the Spirit and He said, "Let us make man." He is the one that in John 1, that logos there, that word there that is described, in the beginning was the Word, the logos, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He's the one that Paul said, and he did not commit it robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh. The same one, Jesus Christ, who said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He was God. As amazing as that is, you know what He did? He took time out of His day to go to a soulless place, to a place that were no interruptions, and He spent amazing quality time in prayer with God. You see, if you're not careful, you skip over that. Jesus sent those disciples ahead. What else is going on in His life? John the Baptist has been beheaded. Herod has sought Jesus to kill Him. Jesus has perceived that the crowd was going to take Him by force so that they would make Him their king. And so what does He do? He gets separated from the crowd. Why? So He could go to the mountain to pray. God in the flesh spent quality time in prayer to the God in heaven. It's amazing to me. But it's also amazing that sometimes in our own lives, we get so busy that we don't take time to pray. Think about that. This morning, that ought to really get us, right? That Jesus Christ, do you think you're busy? Listen, we are busy people. But compare that to the 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. You think He was busy? Jesus did so many marvelous things, so many amazing things that are recorded in the Gospels. He healed people. He preached the greatest sermon ever known. He walked on water. He went to the cross. He died. He did all these amazing things. In fact, He did so many things that John recorded that I suppose the world itself could not contain the volume of book that this man had done. Jesus did, the ones that we have are for our learning. He did so many more, and he did that in 3 years. So to say that Jesus was busy would be an understatement. To say that Jesus probably didn't sleep much would probably be not too far out to go on a limb. That's why he fell asleep on boat rides, because he was tired. He did a lot of things because he was also human. Remember that. But one thing he did not do is get too busy to pray to God. And how often do we? How often do we get too busy to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time reflecting and meditating on God? What if the 250 people in this room or whatever it is and all those who are online, what if we were in a joint effort today to, we went home and if this relates to you, you understand where I'm going with this. But if not, find what relates to you. What if we all went home and prayed to be better husbands and wives? What if we went home and got on our knees or got on our faces and got in our mountaintop experience, wherever that was, where Jesus went, we prayed to be better children? What if we prayed every day for our children and their relationship with God? Now listen, I love Justin Barnes, and I love Ashley, and I love Taylor, and I love Katie, but if you think they're here to raise your children as Christians, you are wrong. They're here to implement what you are supposed to be doing at home. Justin has both my children in his youth group. And I love that I can call on him and say, hey man, I think if you could go check on Bo or you could check on this, and he does, and he loves on them and he takes care of them. And he doesn't just do it with my children, he does it with all of them. But guess what? It's my responsibility to raise Bo and Madeline to get them to Jesus Christ. So what if we all went home and prayed for our children and their relationship with God? And how about this? Their future marriages. The people who they're going to marry. Listen to me, folks. I've seen it happen. I counsel too many people at times that are struggling in their marriage. The first question or the first common denominator I always look for in counseling is, are they both faithful to God? If the answer is no, then we got an uphill climb, right? Because it's God who works it all out. So why am I not praying for my children to grow up to be great Christian leaders in the church and to also marry great Christian leaders in the church? Guess what then, mamas and daddies? Let's encourage them to date great Christian future leaders in the church. Because one day, I used to tell this to the kids and they always thought it funny, you're not going to wake up, boys and girls, and say, whoa, to the person next to you that you just slept all night next to and say, how did you get here? That's not going to happen. It starts with dating, right? You fall in love with people you date. So if we date Christians, guess what? We'll fall in love with Christians. And people can be converted. I understand that. And trust me, I have it in my family. But at the end of the day, what if we were praying that every day? What if we prayed for our elders every single day and the growth of the kingdom here at Azalea City? Do we think amazing things would happen? What if we prayed for our own spiritual growth? What if we prayed for a stirring in our government and our country? Do you think at the end of it, all of us united together, praying as one? Cody taught a phenomenal series of lessons on prayer. Do you think that if we all united together and prayed for other people and asked them if we could pray for them, do you think at the end of the day we'd stand amazed? I do. Because as amazing as things can happen in our lives, it amazes me that God in the flesh prayed to God in heaven. You know what Jesus did? He went on a mountain. Why did he go on a mountain? Yeah, to separate from himself, but also to have that mountaintop experience with God. If we united in prayer, we'd have mountaintop experiences as well. Secondly, this morning, speaking of how amazing things happen with Jesus Christ, it's amazing to me to know that Jesus knows our struggles. Continuing in Mark 6 now, look at verses 47 and following. Verse 47, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And he, again, this is Jesus, was alone on the land. Remember, he's just gone and prayed with his Father. He sent his disciples on ahead. Verse 48, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. But what I want you to focus on is verse 48. It says here in verse 48, he saw them. You know who they didn't see? They didn't see Jesus. If you'll remember the story, they're going to get concerned. They're concerned, right? And they're nervous, and their anxiety is very high. In fact, when they see Jesus walking on the water, they suppose it's a ghost. So there's a lot of crazy things going on in their life. They didn't see him, but he saw them. Now, when you meditate again on this passage of Scripture and you really think on this passage of Scripture, it might be a little bit scary that Jesus still sees us. Why would it be scary? Because he knows our weaknesses and he knows our sins. That is true. Jesus knows. If it's a big sin and it becomes public, a lot of people know. By the way, all sin is big sin. But if it's a private sin and you think nobody knows, Jesus still knows. He saw them. He saw them. They didn't see him. He saw them. You may not see Jesus right now, but he sees you. And so he knows. He knows when we put things in our body that we should not put in our bodies. He knows when our eyes watch things that our eyes should not be watching. He knows when our lips and our ears say and hear things that they ought not be saying. He knows when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He knows. So on one hand, him seeing you and him seeing me, as amazing as that is, it can be scary. But you know what else it can be? It can be the biggest sense of comfort. Because he knows just what we need. He knows how much we love him. He knows how much we want to be with him. He knows, just like Paul, that we know what we ought to do, but we do the things we hate to do. He knows the struggle that's going on. It's not with flesh and blood, but it's against spirits and principalities and powers and things of that nature. He knows that struggle we have. In fact, when he saw them, what did he see them doing? They were straining to row. The wind was against them. When he saw them, he saw their struggles. So on one hand, yes, you can look at it, when Jesus sees me, it's very scary. You know, I've often said that if we invited Jesus over, what would we have to clean up? What would we have to turn off? What would we have to throw away? What would we have to pour out? What would we have to put away? But he already knows. So yeah, on one hand, that can be scary. But on the other hand, if I look at it the positive way, he knows right now if you're struggling. He knows right now if you're wondering how you're going to pay your next bill. He knows right now if you've got a concern over your health You got an upcoming surgery that you're concerned about. You got a loved one that's struggling. Somebody in your life that you've been praying about that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and they just haven't done it yet. He knows all those things because He sees you row and He knows the wind is against you. Thanks be to our amazing God that He knows just what we need. Finally, as I think about Jesus, being amazed by Jesus, it amazes me, and I hope it amazes you, that He took time out. As great as He is, Lord of our lives, the God in the flesh took time out to pray to His Heavenly Father. It also amazes me to know that Jesus knows just what I need. But then thirdly this morning, we ought to be amazed because when Jesus is on our boat, amazing things will happen. In Mark 6, beginning in 49, "And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. But immediately," He didn't let them struggle. He didn't let them just wallow in their anxiety and their fear. It says, "But immediately He talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then He went up into the boat to them." When He got in the boat, what happened? The wind ceased. You know, sometimes because of our struggles, we may not see Jesus for who He is. We may forget who Jesus is. The disciples were struggling. They couldn't row because the waves were so high, the wind was so hard. It was contrary to what they were doing. They could not keep going. And in their anxiety, in their panic, they did not recognize it was Jesus Christ. In fact, they thought it was a ghost. Sometimes in our own life, we get to struggling. We get to rowing against the wind. And you know what happens? We forget to see Jesus for who He really is. Do you believe today that Jesus can take away your troubles? Do you believe that Jesus can take away your sins? Do you believe that God, because of Jesus Christ, will add you to the church? If you do, then you know who He is. You see, the biggest problem the disciples had that day wasn't the wind. It wasn't the waves. The biggest problem they had was that Jesus wasn't on their boat. See, there's going to be wind. There's going to be waves. There's going to be struggle. But when Jesus is on our boat, all that gets calmed. When Jesus came aboard their boat, the wind and the storm ceased. It's an amazing story. It starts out amazing because Jesus goes and takes time to pray. Jesus then goes back to His disciples and sees them struggling. Jesus then goes and gets on their boat, and the storm stopped. So I got to ask the question. You got to ask the question. Make it personal to you right now. How much longer will we go without Jesus in our lives? Do you enjoy storms? Do you enjoy trouble? Do you enjoy heartache? No, none of us do. But if I don't let Jesus into my life and make Him captain of my life, captain of my ship, if I don't do that, then I'm just going to keep struggling. Some might say, well, you know, it just kind of going to church and going to class and doing all the things y'all do, it just kind of messes up my routine. You know, without Jesus, there is no routine. Without Jesus, we only have chaos. So if I could close with a message from Jesus Christ today, what would the message be? What would be the amazing message we could say? How about this? He sees you right now. He sees your struggles. He sees your pain. He sees your heartache. He sees the lack of peace and joy in your life. And He knows you're struggling to keep rowing. He knows you're struggling to keep going. So you know what He would say to you right now? The same thing He said to those disciples, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Today, will you allow that amazing love to conquer your life? So at the end of the day, at the end of the night, maybe we're laying down, but in our thought process, we're saying, today and right now and every day of my life, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Be amazed today. Be saved today. Be right today. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.